We bless your name this morning. You are high and lifted up. You came to die, to be born to die for our sins. And we thank you this morning, God. We bless your name. And God, I pray that you'd move me out of the way and let your Spirit move through the Word of God today. Father, I pray that your Spirit would take control of you. Jesus, we bless your name. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. God, only let your words come out, Lord. Only let your truth, God, come. And I pray that you would quicken our hearts by the Spirit. God, that you would make us a praying body of believers. God, a body of believers that has faith in your name. A body of believers that's bold and strong, that shares the gospel continuously, that with power, Lord, you do not give us the spirit of fear or timidity, but power of love and a sound mind. I pray that you'd breathe that into us, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. This is our last sermon in the Healthy Church series, and a healthy church member is a prayer warrior. A healthy church member is a prayer warrior. In other words, we're a people that do not give up on storming the gates of heaven. And if we don't storm the gates of heaven, that means we've forgotten about our salvation, because we're saved to go into the Holy of Holies. We're saved to enter in. There's some problems in all of our lives. We experience apathy. We experience those places where we get dry, and we experience those places where we just don't hear from the Lord. And we don't speak to the Lord. Days can go by. And I want to say this morning, if we just would grasp the reality of what we have in Jesus Christ when He says you can boldly go to the throne room of grace through the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus, that we would enter in, that we would be a church that everything that we do and say and speak is covered in prayer, is bathed in the fact that we're called leaners. We're leaning on the Lord. We're leaning on Him for everything that happens in our life. I want to ask you to turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. We're living in the last days, and Jesus is coming soon. It's absolutely necessary for us to depend on God in prayer. We want to ask, when should we pray? Jesus told this parable, and this is on the heels of talking about the coming kingdom, of how one will be standing and one will be left when Jesus Christ returns. And it could be tomorrow. It could be in this next hour. It could be in this evening. We don't know when Jesus will return, but we know that all the signs are lining up. But we also know that we're in a struggle and we're in a battle. And so Jesus enters into this parable, and He says in chapter 18 of Luke, verse 1, He says, He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and to not lose heart. Has anybody lost their heart this morning? He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterwards he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down with her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to His elect who cry to Him night and day, day and night? Will He delay long over them? I tell you, He will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Right away, Jesus launches in. When should we pray? And most of us get into places in our lives that we get into trouble and then we pray. Or something really big happens, and then we jump up and down and maybe give God a praise or give Him some time of prayer or something like that. But He says, you know, We're living in times that we need to be ultimately leaning upon the Lord as we live our lives. And I'm not just talking about that formalized prayer every time, you know, that we say, well, now we're going to have a prayer time. Our lives ought to be a prayer. Our lives ought to be in constant communication with the Savior, with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It ought to be in that place. Jesus said you ought to pray continuously and not lose heart. There has been so many times in my life where I was losing heart, and I hope that you, and I know that you can relate to me. Things go wrong at work, things go wrong at homes, things go wrong at church, things go wrong at school, or we just fight with our own flesh and our own laziness, and we just kind of settle down and we just give up and say, well, this praying is too much work. And it is a lot of work. For those of you that come to prayer meeting on Sunday morning and we have prayer time on Wednesday, it's a lot of work. But it's worth it because that is God's only plan to grow His church, is through His saints relying on Him in prayer. Jesus thought this was so important that He tells a parable and He contrasts this whole thing with a judge who didn't even fear God or worship God and then even respect his fellow human being. He was a judge that was probably there for money. It was just a position. It was just a place that he was there. And he's like, I'm only working from a certain time to a certain time. And this poor lady could not get justice. And so she would come and knock on his door continuously. I need justice. I need justice. And he gave in because he got tired of her. Not because he loved her. Not because he wanted to be just. But because he wanted to just get her out of his hair. When should we pray? We should pray continuously. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6:18, pray on all occasions, at all times, especially when we're losing heart. Especially when we don't feel God. If you're like me, we have many moments in our spiritual walks with the Lord where we go to pray and we feel, say, I feel nothing. Why even pray? Why are we even here today? This message from Jesus Christ, the words from our Savior, is directly for you and for me today. He said you ought to pray and not give up and not lose heart. Keep talking to the Savior. Keep listening to the Savior, even when the feelings are not there, even when it feels like there's a ceiling there. Because the reality is if you're saved and you're born again, the veil of the temple where God dwelt has been torn, it's open, that we all have access to it. Well, you might say, well, why should I really pray? Okay, we've got to pray at all times, we've got to develop this lifestyle. Why should we pray? Well, first of all, Jesus commands us here in an indirect way, but then in other passages of Scripture, He tells us to pray. In Philippians 4:6, 1 Thessalonians 4:2, 2 Thessalonians 5:17, He commands us to pray. He tells the church, it's not about having a great pastor or a great church building or great music or all these things. It's not about even if things get hyped up or not. It's not whether you felt joy when you came into the worship service, but He commands us to pray because He so longs to have His relationship with us. And this goes all the way back to the Genesis, which is the beginning of the Bible. God created a man and Adam and Eve, and He walked with them. And He walks with me, and He talks with me. Remember that hymn? And He tells me I am His own, and the joys we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He walks with us and He talks with us. He so much wants to have a relationship with us. So Jesus tells this startling, almost a contrast parable to show how important it is to prayer and why it's just a no-brainer to pray. Number two, Not only does Jesus command us, but he is perfectly righteous. So he gives this contrast of a judge who this widow, this poor lady is showing up and, please help me. And we don't know what situation she was in. Could have been somebody robbed her or somebody took advantage of her in some way. And she was wanting an authority to step in and give her justice. And Jesus, the point of this is he's saying, if someone who has no care in the world for a widow, for human beings, who doesn't even worship God, gives justice simply because she keeps asking, how much more should we continue to ask? Because we come to a Father who loves us, and we come to a Father who loves justice and desires to give us justice. Look in verse 4 through 7. He says, while he refused, he says, neither I fear God, I'm going to do it anyways. In verse 6, the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? That word of Scripture, that finding faith on the earth, I pray that that would bring deep conviction in our hearts and souls. It does for me. God is perfectly righteous, unlike this just judge. Now, I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles because this is the center or the meat of this passage. And we have to look at other passages to fill in the gaps of what he's saying here, the theology behind why his elect can come to him and is expected to come to him continually. Hebrews chapter 4. So hold your place there, and if you turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. I know we've read these words many times, and perhaps it's a favorite scripture, but have we really allowed them to sink into our hearts? Hebrews chapter 4, he says, since we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Now I want you to remember that word confidence, and now turn over a few pages to Hebrews chapter 10. He reiterates it in a different way through Holy Communion. He says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, chapter 10, verse 19, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy of places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that is opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh, his body, and since we have great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. See, God made the way for us as elect through Jesus Christ to have direct access to him. So the gospel is the center of why we're supposed to be a prayer warrior. Now I want to go back to those words, confident and boldly. One of the things that I see in my own life and perhaps many of our lives in the church is that the devil has stopped us up or shut us down to where we are so weak when we pray. We're kind of like, oh, Lord, thank you for this day. And we mumble rote prayers. We pray in the flesh. But my prayer is for myself and for you, brothers and sisters, that this Hebrews passage grips your heart in such a way that you come boldly before God to ask. I think there's a difference. When he talks about the fervent prayer of the righteous man is different than just mumbling a prayer. It's because when we actually believe something, when we talk in normal conversation with one another, we exert it, don't we? If we really believe something, hey, you got to come down here and see what this thing is down here, what I saw down the road. And I'm not going to tell you what that thing is because I don't know what it is. I don't just say, hey, there's something really cool coming down the road. And because of the Lord. We're talking about God Almighty. Jesus stretched out His arms and said, it is finished. We can boldly go into the throne room of grace. Not in arrogance and pride, but because we know we can't go there on our own, but it's through the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you to let the prayer of the Holy Spirit that's inside of you, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, He lives inside of you, and we're going to get to praying in the Spirit in a minute, but His Spirit has intimacy with our spirits, or our souls. And when we get in tune, in alignment with Him, our prayer life changes drastically. I want to encourage you to allow what you're thinking in your heart, what you hold back, to say no, devil, no to fear, to release the power of God through the Holy Spirit working in us. To pray, to intercede on behalf of those that the Word of God tells us to pray for, the saints. He tells us to pray for spiritual leaders. He tells us to pray for presidents and kings and earthly leaders. He tells us to pray for those that are not getting justice, for those that are being persecuted in the Word of God. And you'll find that, all those scriptures, in your book if you're reading that chapter. And next week I'm going to ask who read the whole book, because there's a special gift coming your way if you read this whole book up until this point. Some of you are going to be doing some cram reading, I bet. Wow. Boldly to the throne room of grace. In our book, Tabiti says, prayer is our response to God as He speaks to us first in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The veil's been torn in two. And subsequently, His Word. Prayer is a response to God when He speaks to us through the gospel and through our growing in the Word of God. See, God desires to give justice to His elect. He's not a God that... What do you think about? I mean, most of you that are parents, raise your hand if you are a parent or been a parent or, you know... So, David O'Brien... Sometimes it's difficult to parent, right? Sometimes... Why, Chad, are you smiling and laughing so loud? You're not always perfect, right? Kids are not... Yeah, none of us are. And as a parent... When David O'Brien reaches his very last straw or limit, you're giving him a hard time. If you were truly hungry and starving on the street, do you think your dad would still feed you? So this is an earthly father who makes mistakes, who's not perfect. Now think about your heavenly Father. He loves to give justice. You say, well, I've done messed things up bad this week. That's why 1 John says we have an advocate with Jesus Christ, the righteous one. That we go to Him through the body and blood. We don't go to God through our sins or through our own selves. If we did, we'd be in trouble because God's holy and He'd have to strike us dead because of our sin. But if we go through the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, that's why we pray at the end of our prayers in Jesus' name, because God desires to give justice to elect. If even a parent that's an earthly parent, and Jesus uses this in other passages of Scripture, gives the Holy Spirit. He talks about if parents give, what parent gives in their right mind a snake to their child? I'm sure there's times, David, that you'd want to hand him a viper. So, here, Chad. But instead, you gave him food. Instead, you gave him food. How much more does the Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask? How much more does God want to answer our prayers when we pray according to His will? And the last next thing that I want you to realize is, why should we pray? Because out of the context of this, this lady was in a real battle in her life, right? It was a very physical battle. She wanted justice. You and I are facing spiritual battles every single day. And that's why we have Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. And I want to just skim a couple of the verses there, so turn there. You're going to get your workout here in the Word of God today. I love the Word of God. It's life. The more we can eat, the better. Ephesians chapter 6. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Does that look like many of the Christians, or does that look like me? Does that look like you on a daily basis? Are we just these hold back, timid, shy Christians when it comes to our time of singing, when it comes to our time of testifying? And it was great. We had a wonderful service on Wednesday night where a number of you shared about how you're witnessing and sharing the gospel. Good. Keep doing it, and keep doing it boldly, because that's what a real Christian should look like. He says, be strong in the Lord and His might. And then he talks about the armor that we're supposed to put on. And I'll let you read that later, but skip down to verse 18. He says, praying in the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, to keep alert with all perseverance. The devil doesn't care if you're not a praying church. He'll leave you alone. He doesn't care if you're apathetic and if you're not reading the Word of God. He's grateful to that, but he's got so many other people and so many other people to take down and stop, because his goal is to stop us from sharing this gospel thing about the fact that the curtain's been torn and we can have a relationship with God. That's what he wants to put a stop to, because the more people that are set free, the more people that get saved, the power of the gospel working through us, we're in a spiritual battle. But we've been given some great weapons, and you can research that, but namely the weapon of prayer, that we can come to God. So how should we pray? Now, before we get back into our text, he talks about this widow crying before the judge night and day. Now, this widow was not just going to the unjust judge's door and knocking and say, if you're there, you could please help me. I mean, if you feel like it. I mean, if you'd like, or, you know, if you'd be so. No, she was in the middle of the night, night and day. She'd get up in the morning, and he would sneak out the back door and go to court. So she said, oh, the only time I could come is in the middle of the night. There's somebody here. I need help. She's crying to the Lord with all of her emotion. I think that's what Jesus meant when he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. That's a different kind of love than just love the Lord. It's with everything we got. But I want you to see the example of Jesus in Hebrews chapter 5. This verse astounded me many years ago, and it still astounds me today. Hebrews chapter 5. Now, let's skip down to verse 7. He says, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his great reverence, because of his reverence. Now, here is the center of our gospel, our Savior, who is in the garden, knowing that he was about to be crucified. The Father asked him to do it. Remember, what did he pray? Not my will, but yours be done. He was in absolute perfect obedience to God, but how did he pray when he was in that moment of agony? It was loud cries and tears. In other words, there's a complete, utter brokenness in giving over to prayer. And all, and Americans, and especially Europeans, have this idea that reverence is, we sit quietly with everything buttoned up. And then at a certain time we can say amen if the pastor says we can. Amen. And we keep everything all prim and proper and neat and all of that. and that's reverence. On the contrary, reverence is a heart that is totally rend before God, saying, I'm struggling with this, Lord, but I will do it because you told me to do it. With loud shouts and tears before the Lord. Now that's kind of convicting, isn't it? When is the last time that you came before God in prayer in loud shouts and tears for your situation or whatever you're going through right now in your life? I would encourage you to do it. David did it. Jesus did it. And He is the perfect Son of God, and He is our salvation. To come before God boldly in prayer. Pray passionately and boldly. There's nothing wrong with being a passionate. But, you know, here's what we need to guard ourselves with when it comes to passionate praying. Have you ever been in those prayer meetings where people start praying really loud and shouting, but they don't say a whole lot? And they use God's name as a filler. Da-da-da-da, Lord God, because they don't know what to say or what they haven't even engaged their minds in what they're saying. Someone who can truly pray boldly is someone who knows the Word of God enough and who has a view of God and an understanding of God that they can speak to God in a bold manner. Because they know it. They're not just spewing what their emotions just feel at the moment. They are filled with the truth of God and they're letting it come out boldly. So passionate and boldly are those that know the Word of God, because there's a whole lot of wind that can be blown in prayer too, and that's praying in the flesh just as much as mumbling and not really putting your heart into it can be. That would be called emotionalism. But there's nothing wrong with praying with emotion. As long as that motion is rising from the truth of who we're praying to, rather than just how we're feeling at the moment. So we have to have emotion, and if we don't have emotion, there's something wrong too. So you see the balance that God has called us to in prayer. We don't have time to get into all of these, but how should we pray? Passionately, boldly. Number two, with faith. This woman kept coming because even though she was not, she knew the guy was unjust, she knew he didn't care, but she kept coming because she believed if she kept coming, he was going to answer. How much more, when God promises to answer his elect, will he answer if we have faith? You know, that passage of scripture in James, it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask, but he says, don't doubt. If any man thinks, I'm just summarizing, if he's going to receive anything from the Lord, he can't be double-minded. So you can't pray something and not actually believe that God's going to answer it if you're praying according to God's will to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we were in Israel, this guy Herod built this fortress in, out towards past Bethlehem, and you could see the city of Jerusalem from it. And he literally engineered and had probably slaves and workers and things like that to move a mountain so he could build his little mansion there. A whole mountain was moved. And that shed a whole lot of light on Jesus' sarcasm, because during that time, Herod was a guy that was not well liked. He was a Jew, but he was not liked by the Jews because he was associated with the Romans. He was not liked by the Romans because he was a Jew. He just wasn't popular. And he had the spiritual brain of something really tiny and small. In fact, there is very little spirituality at all. It was fake. Everything he did was for the glory of himself. And so Jesus says, if any of you has the faith of a mustard seed, which is a real tiny thing you can barely see, you can say to this mountain, move, and it will be moved. So what he was saying there is even a pagan could move a mountain. How much more to those that have faith in Jesus Christ? Can I believe God for a miracle, for change, for breakthrough, for salvation, for healing in the family? is pray with faith. And then the next thing I would like us to see before we go today, actually you can look it up later, but 1 John is pray God's will as you live in God's will. 1 John 3 says, He answers us because we obey His commandments. So if I am living in purposeful, willful sin against God, and that doesn't mean we're not going to be, that we have to be perfect. I'm saying purposely, saying I know I'm in sin, God's convicted me, and I'm going to keep doing this no matter what, it makes our prayers powerless. And then in the end of John, he says, if anyone prays according to God's will, God will answer. One of the best things that I've learned is that when I get into prayer times, and one of the most fruitful prayer times is to take a scripture and pray it to God and put it in my own words, elaborate on it, meditate on it, think on it, because that prayer is going to be answered, because you know for sure this is the will of God. And when the Holy Spirit starts bringing, the more you're in the Word of God, what the Holy Spirit does is He goes into that file that you have from studying the Word of God. And when you pray, He starts just bringing those things out. And you are praying in the Spirit when you're praying the will of God. You see how that works? And a lot of times we don't pray in the Spirit. We pray in the flesh, and it's not the will of God. And we wonder why our prayers aren't answered. Which leads us into the next text of Scripture, and I want to hopefully close with this today. I think you're hoping to. Maybe not. Romans. Please look at this passage. Romans chapter 8. I beg you to go home and meditate on this passage of Scripture. Because, folks, it's time that we grow in learning how to pray in the Spirit and not the flesh. And here's the crux of what it means in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. He says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. Well, that's the same word that Jesus used in Luke. He says you ought to pray continuously. Remember that? And then it says, for we don't know what to pray for what we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes with us with groanings too deep for words, or in the Greek it would be too deep for human known languages or human words. And He who searches hearts knows that is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that those who love God, all things work together for good for those He called according to His purpose. So, a few things here. We have a sovereign God. We have a Spirit who intercedes for us and prays for us and prays through us. And there are going to be times when you get into a situation and you're just like, I don't know what to pray. And when we get into the Holy Spirit and we start to listen to the Holy Spirit, He prays for us in our behalf. And He makes deep intercession for us. And that is the intimacy of our spirit with God's Holy Spirit praying. It means that we rely on the Spirit who helps us in our weakness, because we can't pray on our own. You're probably tired of the illustration, but I think of this every time it comes to this type of passage that we're talking about. When D.L. Moody was at a meeting and prayed, an elder in the church gets up and prays, and so he wanted to impress the big evangelist, so he tried praying all these flowery words and theological words and the these and the thous, and D.L. Moody knew it wasn't in the Spirit, it was in the flesh. So he stood up and said, let's turn to hymn number 435 while he finishes his prayer. Why? Because he'd rather be worshiping in the Spirit than listening to something that's in the flesh. Folks, we need to have an intimacy with the Holy Spirit that He would pray through us with those groanings that are too deep for words. And when you truly start to come into your prayer closet and come before the Lord and truly begin to cry out, you're going to know what this Scripture means. You know, get to that point where you're like, ugh, I don't know what else to pray. And then the Holy Spirit will begin to pray through you. You don't know how it happens. It's supernatural. It's powerful. And the Holy Spirit will begin to intercede through you because He knows the will of God and the heart of God. It means we must surrender to the Spirit and allow us to control, allow Him to control. And that's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Now, I've had people say, you know, you need to be Spirit-filled. And what they mean by that is that certain external things will happen. Ecstatic things. And I'm not against any of those things because all those things are good. They're great. But that's what the filling of the Spirit is. That's not the filling of the Spirit. That's just outward reactions of our human flesh to the Holy Spirit. But when we surrender the Holy Spirit, that means He has control of us. And when He has control of us, the fruit of the Holy Spirit begins to exude out of our lives. And then we submit to God's Word because the Spirit intercedes according to God's Word. And so when we pray the truth of Scripture fervently, it's the best way to know that we're praying in the Spirit. And I'm not just talking about just rotely reading something. I'm talking about engaging the mind, heart, and will fully into God. If you can think of a moment in your life when you were so into something, maybe you love a sport, or maybe you love music, or maybe you love art, and you just give yourself into it. You don't just sit back there and just kind of like, you know, if you're a basketball player, you don't just kind of dribble the ball around or chase a butterfly or something like that. Or if you're playing soccer or if you're playing bass guitar or you're singing, you give it your all because you believe in it and you know it. How about our prayer time? How about our relationship with God? Since the Holy of Holies has been opened up to us because of Jesus, that I can go in and pray through the Holy Spirit. So I want to challenge you this week to begin to say, Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Start to ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. No more fears. Throw out the fears. Throw out the timidity, because that's what Christian religion in America has taught us, to become afraid and put everything in a box, and everything that we can control and hang on to. When the Holy Spirit is in charge, we have to give our all and give Him control. We have to surrender. We can't be the ones that are in charge. We can't be like going through the Burger King drive-thru and we pray and have it our way. We have to pray according to the Spirit's will, according to the Word of God, and last of all, pray humbly for the glory of God alone. You know, this widow, when she comes and prays, in a sense, Jesus uses that example, and she comes and knocks on the door continuously. She meant it. She didn't stop. She believed it. Will God delay when we ask? Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Are we praying for our glory, for our agenda, for our flesh? Are we praying for the furtherance of the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ? I challenge you this week to begin to pray, say, Holy Spirit, I know You're inside of me. I know You live inside of me. I welcome You. I surrender to You. Come and take control. If you don't feel anything, that's okay. Keep surrendering control to the Holy Spirit. Keep searching the Scriptures on what to pray. And if it's just simply you have to stutter and read through a passage of Scripture, start there. The more your heart comes in tune with the Lord, oh, there's such a power, there's such a glory that comes in intimacy when the Spirit is interceding for us. We're praying in our spirits with Him to God. And this is how prayer works. Because the gospel, we can pray to God the Father through Jesus Christ. and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Most Christians get the first two parts, but the last part of prayer is so important. So I want to ask the worship team to come today, and if you've been praying in the flesh and you say, you know what, there's some things in the flesh that need to go. I've been doing things my own way. I've been given control, taken control from God. I want to ask you, if that's you today, or even if you just want to come down and pray, to come down to this altar today and say, Lord, I want the intimacy of the Holy Spirit. I want to become a prayer warrior for God's kingdom, because there is no telling what God will do within these four walls, on this neighborhood, in this block, and in the surrounding towns. If we're a church that's devoted to praying in the Holy Spirit, don't you want to see the kingdom of God come? Don't you want Jesus to come back and say, I found faith at Christ Community Church? These people did not give up. They came to the altar. They didn't let go until God came through and saved their sons and their daughters from drugs and alcohol. They didn't stop praying until the neighbor that rejected Jesus down the road accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They didn't stop praying until God began to move and people were baptized and the whole community was transformed. They didn't stop praying until the churches in the valley were unified together as one in Jesus Christ. They didn't stop praying until they threw away the pride and the competition and the glory for self and me and ecstatic things that happened that seemed glorious and grand. They didn't stop praying until God really came through and true revival of repentance came to Christ Community Church and the Taze Valley and Winfield and Hurricane and Charleston and Huntington. Jesus says, don't stop. Here's all you ought always to pray and not lose heart. Father, we come before you and we ask that your Spirit would move on us and convict us and transform us. Thank you for this word. Thank you for moving mightily this morning through our lives in spite of our weaknesses. Holy Spirit, come. We want a true revival. We want a true move of your Spirit, God.